plumes of light emerge from the edge of the earth and the lights spread across the globe. Large white letters in white and gold snake around the center of the globe. Universal. www.universalstudios.com. George the brown tailless monkey walks amongst giant Christmas baubles waving at his reflection. He hops amidst huge Christmas gingerbread cookies and fairy lights. He twists a bulb and the chain of lights come on. He tugs at a long red ribbon and it unties a bow to reveal the title. Curious George, A Very Monkey Christmas.
December is an exciting month because you know one day you'll wake up and it'll be Christmas morning.
George wakes up. He puts on a Santa hat.
George didn't want the man with the yellow hat to miss even one second of Christmas.
George jumps on the man with the yellow hat as he lies in bed.
No, George, my spleen. Oh, thank you. And I am afraid it's still not Christmas yet, buddy. Remember we talked about this yesterday?
He shakes his head.
And the day before. And every morning at 5 a.m. since Thanksgiving. See, today is the 14th. So how many days are there until the 25th? No, it's more than one.
The man draws out the numbers within a Christmas tree shape with one at the top.
There. That's Christmas. This is today. All these other days come before Christmas. I know.
For an impatient monkey, anything more than one day seemed like a million.
Oh, those days will go by fast. Yeah, you'll see. Every day will be fun.
The man winds up a musical snow globe.
Before the big day gets here, there's so much to get done. I think you're gonna find out getting there is half the fun. Christmas preparations, you can see them all around. People getting ready almost everywhere in town. Are you ready for Christmas Day to come? Sing it with me, or if you're a monkey, hum.
As they go downstairs, a bauble rolls up to Hundley the dachshund and he takes it to the doorman who's putting up a Christmas tree.
Christmas in the lobby, always organized and neat. One and all are welcome. Don't forget to watch your feet.
Hundley prevents the man from stepping on a box. The man goes outside where it's snowing with George on his shoulders and they look through the window of a grocer's where he's creating a Christmas display with his son.
Christmas time means winter winds, snow clouds fill the sky.
And if I had a chance, I think I'd spend it in Hawaii.
Are you ready for Christmas Day to come?
Yeah!
Sing it with me, or if you're a monkey, hum.
A feast of seven fishes.
Stop it!
First make five and then add two.
No, kid, no!
It's a Christmas Eve tradition.
Hey! Get off that, you!
Chef Bisquetti picks up Noki. as Steve and Betsy watch a Christmas band, Charky runs off.
Chasing after Charky every day all through the year.
But when it's close to Christmas, we always end up here.
Are you ready for Christmas Day to come? Sing it with me, or if you're a monkey, hum.
Merry Christmas!
Time to go shopping!
Bye, everybody!
Merry Christmas!
Hey, Betsy. Hey, Steve. Are you looking for Christmas gift ideas?
Well, we were chasing Charky and sort of got distracted.
George is captivated by a toy shop window display.
I'm going to add that big xylophone to my Christmas list.
Betsy, you shouldn't put anything on that list you don't really want.
But I do really want it. I'm writing a song on my xylophone, but it only has 15 keys. More keys means more notes to choose, right?
Betsy's list is long. Mine is gonna break the record for shortest Christmas list ever. My whole list is just four letters. B-I-K-E. Bike.
Charky, stay!
We gotta go. Bye. Charky!
Oh, speaking of Christmas lists, don't you need me to write yours for you? Have you even decided what you want? You see how much preparing we still have to do?
The man puts George on his shoulders and George ponders as they go back home.
George spent the rest of the day working hard on his Christmas list.
In a thought bubble, a tricycle. A hobby horse. A rhinoceros.
Everybody knows a rhinoceros is the perfect Christmas present. But walking one would be a lot of work.
He imagines himself playing a drum.
Then, all at once, George knew exactly what to put on his list.
George scribbles different colored shapes on paper. The man's looking through a toy catalog.
Oh, that's a good one. George, you ready to make your Christmas list? Well, show me what you want in the catalog and I'll write your list for you. No, but if you don't, how will I know what to put on your list? Is that it? You did it all by yourself? Wow, I'm impressed you did it alone. And this is something I know you would like? Have I seen it?
Of course the man with the yellow hat had seen it.
Huh? Oh, you want me to write my list? You want to give me a present? Why don't you make me something? Surprise me. This is what you really want? I mean, besides what Santa brings.
Was there something wrong with the list?
Oh, don't worry.
Now that I have your list,
I'll make sure you get what you want.
As George scurries away, the man looks at George's list.
Making a present was going to be fun. But how would George figure out how to make it? First, he could draw it. But what was it?
Both George and the man are stumped.
This was going to take a lot of thought.
It's another day, and George wakes up with a big smile on his face.
George woke up the same way he did every day since Thanksgiving.
He puts on the Santa hat.
Except now he had a chart to let him know it wasn't Christmas yet.
He crosses out 12 at the bottom of the tree chart and circles 11.
Christmas was still far away. But George could use that time to think of a perfect present for the man with the yellow hat.
George! Ready for today's preparations? We are going to get a Christmas tree.
There'd be plenty of time to think of a present later.
In the lobby.
Decorating the tree neatly was Hundley's favorite Christmas preparation. And here came the absolute opposite of an organized tree. George.
Good morning. Tree's looking good.
A man can accomplish anything when he's got a plan and a dachshund.
Wow. Boop. Come on, George. The early monkey catches the tree.
George and the man with the yellow hat drive out of the city in a yellow car, and Jumpy the squirrel watches them go by. They stop at a tree farm.
All right, George, pick any tree you like.
Welcome to Mrs. Rankin's prize-winning Christmas tree farm. You know there's a proper way to pick out a Christmas tree.
Bill picks up a book.
I laid it out in charts and graphs. I insist customers read every page, or I won't sell them a tree.
You're a kid who knows a lot. What does this look like to you?
Oh, I'm good at puzzles.
It's not a puzzle. It's what George wants for Christmas, and I have to figure it out. I guess it is kind of a puzzle.
Jumpy scurries around as George checks out the trees that are arranged in neat rows on stands.
George figured he could see more trees if he was up high.
I don't know what that is. Maybe it's a city kid thing.
Oh, boy.
George spotted the perfect tree.
George, you don't climb Christmas trees.
Proper climbing trees are your oak, your maple, your spruce.
Climb down very carefully.
The tree rocks, so George jumps onto another one and another as they topple over.
Oh, no!
George is back on the ground as the trees fall in a chain reaction like dominoes. Jumpy pulls an acorn out of the snow. And scurries away in a panic as the trees fall towards him. A display of holly garlands hits the ground and the tree that George had picked out crashes down on Bill's chair. George trudges up.
I'm sorry, Bill. I'm
going to have to research the proper way to display trees. I don't think that's supposed to happen. That one? Sure. Here you go.
Bill picks up the tree to reveal an acorn that Jumpy grabs. George George waves as Jumpy scampers away.
Can you pull my chair off there? Yeah. There you go.
It's stuck.
Yeah.
Should we pick another tree?
This was the one. No other tree would do.
The tree with the chair is strapped to the car roof.
Not every Christmas tree comes with a free chair. Thanks, Bill.
Merry Christmas!
George thought Christmas preparations were pretty exciting so far.
In the lobby, the doorman and Hundley are wrapping a long rope of tinsel round their tree. Hundley cocks an ear as George and the man march in with their tree and the chair stuck at the top of it.
Hundley didn't like the look of this.
Oh, let me guide you. This way. Okay, keep coming.
Just,
you're doing great.
A little higher. No, oh, careful. All right, just to your left.
George was gone, the tree was safe. Hundley needed a rest.
The rope of tinsel has got caught on George's tree and it's unfurling up the stairs.
Keep following my voice.
As the doorman guides them into their apartment, the tinsel snakes behind them until it goes taut and starts unraveling from the lobby tree.
Having no hands, there was only one thing Hundley could do.
He leaps up, grabs the tinsel, and starts tugging.
Okay, it's starting to feel heavy.
Let me give you a hand.
Right, I got it.
Hundley loses the tug of war and he's dragged up the stairs as the unwinding tinsel spins the lobby tree, sending baubles crashing to the floor. George notices the tinsel rope snagged on the tree stand.
What's that?
They follow the trail of tinsel rope down the stairs to find Hundley clinging on by his jaws, hanging in midair as the lobby tree is in danger of being pulled over.
Hundley? Yikes! Oh, here, boy.
Huh? Oh, no. Sorry. We'll help you clean up.
Thanks, but we can handle it. We're a great team.
Oh, okay.
Later, George grabs a box of tree decorations as the man stands the tree up with the chair stuck at the top.
It's perfect. Except for you know what. Hey, maybe I could cut it out.
George didn't want to risk hurting the perfect tree.
Oh, I get it. We can be a great team, just like those lobby guys, right? Let's decorate.
Imagining the tree all decorated made George think about how much the man with the yellow hat would like his present.
Thank you, George.
But he still had no idea what that present would be.
You deserve a gift that says more. Then here's what I found at the grocery store. It has to be nice and fit under the tree. But what in the world could it be? You might like a car that has wings, a convertible with a spare tire that sings. But there's no such thing. What's a monkey to do?
to find something as special as you. You might like a peer that can fly, so every day you could catch fish from the sky. But there's no such thing. What's a monkey to do? To find something as special as you. Maybe you like everything that is yellow. You seem like a nice yellow thing kind of fellow. No, it has to be nice and fit under the tree. But what in the world could it be? So how about a comfortable chair that rubs your feet and then cuts your hair? Or how about some self-dancing pants? Oh yeah, that when you zip them up they make you dance. Maybe I'll get you a magical spread that fixes you breakfast in bed. No, it has to be nice and fit under the tree. But what in the world could it be? So what should I get? And what should I do to find something as special as you? To find something as special as you.
The tree is decorated and a star is placed on a chair leg.
When you wake up, George, we'll be one day closer to Christmas.
In the morning, George went to see Betsy and Steve.
George is here.
Hi, George. What present am I giving Aunt Margaret? She loves Christmas songs, so I want to write one for her and sing it at the pageant next week. But anything I think of is already in another song.
This is what older brothers are for. I've solved your problem.
Hang things on the walls like holly. We got Christmas stuff hung on our walls.
That's just deck the halls.
Oh, yeah. Maybe every Christmas song has already been written.
Thanks.
Being a non-musical monkey, George couldn't write a song. He needed other ideas.
He goes into Chef Pischetti's kitchen.
Hey, Giorgio! This is a famous Chef Pischetti winter tomato snowman surprise. You know who likes those? She likes any food. I mean your friend, the yellow capello fellow.
This was it. The perfect gift for the man with the yellow hat.
George sketches Chef's tomatoes that are arranged like snowmen. Later at home, he gets an armful of tomatoes from the fridge and, following his sketch, tries to squash them together in a snowman shape.
Turns out tomatoes can be squishy. Tomatoes need to be round to look like a snowman. So the squished ones had to be refilled.
With ketchup that makes them explode.
I always thought I understood everything George wanted.
The man goes into Chef Pischetti's kitchen.
Made any of your famous tomato snowmen yet?
Have I made it? Of course! Hey, you want that one?
Oh, you bet. Thanks.
Well, okay. But you get just one taste, okay?
The chef feeds some fish to Noki.
Oh, she's a pretty girl, yes, yes.
Wow, you two really communicate.
Well, I understand that. Well, just like you understand Giorgio, right?
The man glumly looks at the list.
Yeah.
George, you home? Wait till you see what I got at the...
The kitchen's a mess.
Making your own ketchup? Huh. Okay.
He finds George's sketch.
Oh, you were trying to make tomato snowmen. That would have been a perfect surprise for me.
Not only did George need a new idea for a present, he had to take an extra bath.
Professor Wiseman.
Hi, do you have time to talk?
Well, I am calculating the exact path of a giant asteroid's collision with Earth.
Great, yeah, but this is important. I can't figure out George's Christmas list. I told him I'd get him what he wants, but I don't know what it is.
Oh, no.
What makes it worse, he knows what I'd want. Tomato snowmen. He's so thoughtful and messy.
Bring him to the museum tomorrow. I'll get him to explain it. Somehow.
Oh, thanks. Good night. Wait. A giant asteroid's gonna collide with Earth?
It did, a long time ago. It may be what caused dinosaurs to become extinct.
Oh, that asteroid. Right. Good night.
The next day at the museum.
Hi, guys. Like our decorations?
Dinosaur-shaped ones on a tall Christmas tree.
That? Why, it's an artificial snow shaker. This controls it.
Wow, it's like being at the North Pole. Yeah. Here, how will you get him to explain it to you?
I'm a genius. He's a monkey. Watch. Hey. That looks like a simple yellow ornament, doesn't it?
Uh-huh.
But if you look close, it's Saturn.
Oh.
Things aren't always what they seem to be. Like this. It looks like a circle, but I think it's something more. If only someone could tell me what.
Of course. I should know all about it.
George plays with the fake snow created by the machine.
Monkey won, genius nothing.
George thought the fake snow looked nice now, but how much better would it look turned up all the way?
Oh, George! George!
They're buried in a snowdrift.
Oh. He's sorry.
Sorry? He revealed a flaw in the system. George, maybe you should work here helping me.
Boy, wouldn't it be fun to have a snow shaker like this, George?
That was exactly the kind of hint George was hoping for.
Well, where are you going?
Well, we could try running this through a universal translation program.
Oh, yeah. Whoa. I'm sorry if we worked it too hard.
Oh, it's okay. Computers crash.
Yeah, I've just never seen one burst into flames like that.
Why don't we get any normal calls?
Sketches of snow and the man and empty snowflake packets in George's room. George has made a snow machine.
This was going to be the perfect surprise.
George! Okay, George, bedtime.
The fake snow lands on the man, followed by the box that George lashed up above the door.
Oh. Snow shaker? For me?
Later, George is out and about.
Finding a perfect gift that a monkey could make wasn't as easy as it sounds.
Hi. I still haven't been able to write a song for Aunt Margaret. The pageant is only a few days away. Anything I think of is already in A Christmas Carol.
Betsy, I solved your problem. A Christmas song unlike any other. Oh, Aunt Margaret walked back home carrying some cookies. I looked out of my window and I said, looky, looky.
But that's not about Christmas.
They're Christmas cookies. Oh, I'll keep thinking. Turkey!
George hoped Betsy would find a song in time.
George crosses off day 8 and circles 7.
Christmas preparations kept George and the man with the yellow hat very busy.
The man signs Christmas cards and George adds a handprint to each one before putting them in envelopes. Later, they go food shopping and George carries a huge turkey to the counter.
George?
He needs some help to lift it onto the counter. Later, George crosses off 7 and circles 6. Walking along the street with an armful of cards, he doesn't realise that he's dropping some. The man follows, picking them up. When George reaches the mailbox, he finds that he's short of cards.
Looking for these, George?
They post the cards and walk home hand in hand. George decorates some gingerbread monkeys with icing and the man puts them in the oven. Outside a toy shop, the man puts some money in a charity Santa's collection bucket.
Oh, thank you.
George puts them in too.
And thank you too.
4 is circled on George's chart.
The days were flying by. So fast that George hadn't found time to figure out what to make for his friend. And neither had the man.
It's almost here. What can I do?
Why not follow George?
Maybe he'll go somewhere that'll give you the answer.
That's it. You are a genius.
That's, actually my job description.
Yes, it is.
Thanks. Good night.
The next morning, George decided that he'd do nothing until Christmas but work on the man's present. Whatever it was.
George, I have a lot of places to go today, so I'll see you at dinner.
Maybe he'd go somewhere that'd give George an idea for a present.
George runs outside ahead of the man with the yellow hat.
I bet he went into Dolson's to look at toys. My problems are solved.
As he rushes off to the toy shop, George emerges from a hiding place behind a tree. And follows the man to the toy shop. The man searches the aisles of tall shelves packed with toys. George peers round a tall shelf unit and spots the man. He heads off after the man, but he's already moved on. They go round in circles, missing each other. George hides on a shelf, knocking over a doll that the man picks up.
Huh.
A robot is knocked over and scrambles along the floor as George climbs a shelf unit, looking down on the man. He accidentally knocks a car off the shelf and it hits the man on the head.
George, don't climb up there.
Oh, now he knows I'm here.
Well, hi. What a coincidence that we're both in the same store. I mean, what are the odds? I guess I'll get going now. See ya. Okay. Goodbye.
They walk off in opposite directions, and then George doubles back.
So George and the man with the yellow hat spent the rest of the day following each other.
Later, the man's on the phone.
I followed that monkey all day, and all I found out was he's really hard to follow.
Well, you gave it a good try.
Not good enough. Oh, I must be the worst monkey parent ever.
Three is circled.
After following the man all day, George was back where he started. And tomorrow was Christmas Eve.
Come on, George. We don't want to be late for the Christmas pageant.
Later, at a theater, George is in a Victorian costume looking through the curtains at the gathering audience.
Okay, everyone. First up is Betsy, who will sing her new song. Where is Betsy?
I'm over here. But I won't be singing tonight. I couldn't think of anything new to write a Christmas song about.
I got a song. Do fish know when it is Christmas? Do fish know when it is Christmas? Do fish know when it is Christmas? Or are they confused?
We'll just start with Jingle Bells, then.
I wanted to surprise Aunt Margaret, but everything has been done. Just look around. Bells, snow, Santa.
Betsy was right.
Huh?
Or was she?
You? Uh-huh. I've never heard a song about Christmas and monkeys. Have you? Thank you. Nothing solves a problem like a little monkey.
Okay, places, everyone.
I can't write that fast.
Thank you. Well, that was our last song. We want to thank you all so much for coming. We hope you have a Merry Christmas.
Where's Betsy?
Be sure to pick up the flyer for this fun event.
Well, guess my song will have to save the day.
No, wait! Hold it! Will you pass out these copies for me?
Hold on, everybody. We have one more song.
Margaret said she knew every Christmas carol, songs of holly, Santa's snow, and reindeer by the barrel. So I set out to find some unsung Christmas thing. So for her sake, we would have a brand new carol to sing. Christmas. Christmas monkey, no one sung about Christmas monkey. Christmas monkey's got no song. It's been that way for much too long. Monkeys run and monkeys climb. Monkeys love Christmas time. Just ask George the hairy one here. He's got spirit and monkey teach here.
He's got spirit and monkey teach here.
For the most mentions of a monkey in a Christmas carol. Oh, Betsy, it was the perfect gift.
I couldn't have done it without my friend George. Have a Merry Christmas. It's almost here.
George waves off Betsy with a smile, but then looks worried. The next day, he puts a cross through three and circles two.
Betsy came up with a great present for Aunt Margaret. There must be something George could think of for the man. So far, all he'd made were a bunch of pictures. Maybe there was something he could make. He hoped they had enough wrapping paper. He was gonna need lots. Meanwhile, the man with the yellow hat had no ideas at all.
Excuse me? Tomorrow is Christmas. This is my last chance. Can you tell me what this means?
No.
Isn't that a... Oh, no.
I don't know.
I don't know upside down either.
Why don't we ever get Sean any normal Christmas lists?
I can't tell what that is.
Mm-mm. Sorry.
Gnocchi says she don't know either.
I agree with Hunley. It doesn't look like anything I've ever seen before.
Looking glum, the man trudges through the apartment and slumps on the sofa, holding George's list containing the different colored shapes.
Tomorrow, I'm going to ruin Christmas for a little monkey. I said everything would be perfect, and I gave him a chair stuck in a tree. I don't understand him anymore. I bet there's someone else who'd understand him better.
I understand her.
You should work here, helping me.
We're a great team.
He falls asleep, and finds himself amongst the giant cogs of a clock.
Well, it's about time.
Hey, what? Where? Am I dreaming? Is it possible to know I'm dreaming in a dream? What are the rules?
Like I said, it's about time. I am the ghost of time going sideways, you know, like this. Watch your feet.
What? Oh!
Mr. Rello sets the hands going on a giant clock face that they're standing on, and it drifts out of a clock tower with them riding it like a magic carpet.
Where are we going?
I have some things I want you to watch.
They glide inside the apartment lobby and see George in a uniform like the doorman.
Hey, George, where'd you get the uniform?
He cannot see or hear you.
He can't? Why not?
Because you are here to watch. So, shush.
Oh, yeah. Hey, it's me. Ooh, I don't look very happy. Hi, Monkly. Monkly? What's going on?
You thought George might be happier with someone else. Now you can see.
The lobby looks perfect, as usual.
We're a great team. A man can accomplish anything with a plan and a monkey. Oh, you'd like a new bike? No problem. Oh, with a bell. Look, you got it.
Ooh, yeah.
Wow, he really understands George.
Monkly.
Monkly. Well, this is the last box. The apartment's empty. So this is goodbye. Why am I moving?
Do hurry up, Honey Hat. I'm cold.
Who is she?
Your wife.
Oh, no. I'll miss Monkly.
I'm so sorry we have to move away because I'm allergic to monkeys.
Allergic to monkeys? Oh, how tragic.
Hundley trots up to the entrance.
Sorry, stray dogs are not welcome.
Hundley's a stray?
The doorman did not need a dog. He had a monkey, eh?
We keep this place neat. Dogs are messy. Monkeys are neat.
Ooh.
Well, if George is happy this way, I guess he's better off.
Monkley, what are you doing? Stop!
He's not happy being neat and orderly. He's still George.
Okay, next.
They hover above the museum.
You remember Professor Wiseman said George could work here? Watch.
You called for me, Dr. Brainley?
Oh, that's even worse than Monkley.
This is the most important discovery in the history of smarts. I'll notify the world.
Look at all those awards. He's understood and he's important. Now he's got a perfect life.
Stopping by the dinosaur skeleton, Dr. Brainley puts down his clipboard, takes off his glasses and white coat, and climbs up the skeleton, just like George would do.
Guess this is the best life for him. He even gets to climb.
Doctor? Dr. Brainley, come down here, put your clothes on, and behave like a famous scientist.
That's too bad. Isn't there any way for George to be understood and happy too?
Let's see.
They look in on Chef Bischetti's kitchen.
Watch.
Gnocchi, don't! Thank you, Sonny. What would I do without you?
George, the chef, makes tomato snowmen.
He's really good at that.
Oh, perfecto. And your recipe, Sonny. It's so easy to understand.
Oh. It's the same as the Christmas list.
Let's go for a walk.
Look how happy he is.
Jingling all the way to the place. Oh, what fun it is to have a smiley monkey face.
George gazes at the toy shop window display.
You saved this for last because it's the perfect life for George, right? I was kind of hoping it would turn out that his best life was with me.
What makes you so sure it's not?
Whoa!
George, as Sonny the chef, starts bounding after Charky.
Break time over, Sonny. We have to get ready for the dinner crowd.
Oh, poor little monkey. Wait just a second. The list. The window. Hey, that's what he wants! But this is just a dream. Is the real window the same?
Ah, you will have to check that for yourself when you wake up.
How do I wake up? It's almost Christmas. I have to wake up! I'm awake. I gotta check that window.
He grabs his yellow hat and rushes out.
Ooh, I should have put a coat on.
He stops at the toy shop window and checks the list.
The shapes. They are the toys. The helicopter, the train, the drum. I figured it out. I understand my monkey. I'm the one who understands him best. Merry Christmas, everybody. I understand my monkey. Oh, I forgot to get the presents.
He rushes back to the shop, but the shopkeeper is just locked up.
No.
We're closed. Have a Merry Christmas.
But I only need a few things. Look!
Sorry, but I'm spending Christmas with my sister, and if I don't close at 7, I'll miss my train.
No.
It's not at 7 yet. My watch is always right, huh? And look at the clock on the wall.
Hey, you're right. My watch is fast. Come on in. We're open for another 10 minutes.
Oh, thank you for this and for things you don't even know about.
Go. Time waits for no one.
The countdown to Christmas is exciting. Because you know, one day you'll wake up and it'll be Christmas morning.
George puts on his Santa hat and bounds through to the man's room, jumping on him.
Yes, George, now it's Christmas. Okay, I'm coming. Aren't we going to the tree?
George gets the man's present from under his bed. A roll of wrapping paper.
For me? Is this my present? Aw, oh, a roll of wrapping paper. Thank you. I can use it.
George unfurls it to reveal lots of colorful drawings.
Wow. Oh, that's terrific. Whoa. All our Christmas preparations.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, that's us. Wow, look at that. Rinkin's Tree Farm. Uh-huh. The snow machine. Tomato snowman. Uh-huh. Poor Hunley. Uh-huh. A rhinoceros? Uh-huh. Oh, a flying car. Wouldn't that be neat? Betsy's song. Wow. We sure had a lot of fun this month. Oh, this part? Oh, you and me and the chair and the tree. That's your favorite part? Okay, you ready to open the presents that are under the tree?
George goes through to the living room and sees his wrapped presents under the tree.
Christmas with the monkey. They're all my favorite things. Sounds of squash tomatoes and the joy a monkey brings. Get the mop and vacuum. Put the chair up in your tree. So if you are a monkey, please invite my friends and me. Are you ready for Christmas Day to come? Sing it with me, or if you're a monkey, hum. Give me a hum.
Audio description written and recorded by Michael Woodford for Iuno Media Group. A Very Monkey Christmas, written by Joe Fallon. Based on the books by Margaret and H.A. Ray. Directed by Scott Hemming, Kathy Markazian, Jeff McGrath. Featuring the voice talents of Frank Welker as Curious George, Jeff Bennett as the man with the yellow hat, and Reno Romano as the narrator. Music by Nick Nolan.